Hello, my name is Massimo Vignelli. You're listening to Type Radio. Now we are talking.
Type Radio.
So I was saying that there is no way, for instance, that subculture can creep in. We were talking about the graffitis, for instance. You know, somebody can record the graffiti, can make historical analysis of the graffiti, can make sociological analysis of graffiti, he can make anything, can make a picture book about graffiti, he can glorify the graffiti, but the graffiti still is a graffiti. It is a subculture manifestation that you hope has no way of coming into the mainstream of culture. What you hope is that the mainstream of culture can get in the head of those damn guys that are visually polluting our environment, for their ego has no boundaries, has no control. We go back to that. You know, the reason that these people do that is because they are unsocial. You know, they are not socially conscious, they are uneducated. So the only reason why me and you are not doing, I hope you, not doing graffitis. We're not doing graffiti, it's because we respect the other. We respect freedom, and freedom is the respect of the other. It's not the prevarication of your own desire over the others. That's the misunderstanding of freedom. And it's exactly what a subcultural person, you know, cannot understand. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not educated enough to respect his neighbors, you know, and that's why he does, you know, they do graffiti. Now, that's why I get mad when I see this postmodernist historian glorifying this kind of a form, glorifying, you know, the, you know, vernacular kind of signs. You know, how many lectures I've seen of that kind? You know, photographing signs on the side of the street, you know, bar or whatever it is, you know, and things like that, you know, or apples, 10 cents a kilo, whatever it is, you know. Fine, there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't see really why to have an orgasm in glorifying those things which do not belong to culture anyhow. Mm. You know, why don't they spend their time reading Goethe? They will be much more profitable.
Yeah, but for example, I mean, here we're at the Type Conference, there's a lot of type designers that started off as sign painters, yeah. And then...
Yeah, but you see, it takes time to educate the mind, you know. Some people do an honest job, you know, but they never really overpass the threshold that is called education and philosophy, or going deeper into the meaning of things, why, and so on and so forth, you know. And they're fascinated, seduced by forms without really reading into the form. So that is, it takes a lot of discipline. It's like music. It takes a lot of discipline. Anybody can whistle, you know. Anybody can make noises. But very few can make music, you know. And that is exactly what's happening. This is a conference about noise, not a conference about music, you see.
So if this is a conference about noise, I mean, then what? Yeah.
What is why I'm here?
Why are you here?
I'm here to spread the gospel. I'm a missionary.
Okay.
I'm here just to say what I said yesterday is exactly that. This is why we use very few typefaces, because there are very few good typefaces, and there's a lot of junk. You know, thousands, literally thousands of junky type. And only very few, maybe a dozen, if you want to really be generous, 20. No, you don't really care. Hardly 20.
But it is also, it's good to have the choice. I mean, why limit somebody to five?
No. Well, the function of an educator is to give you choices, but also to give you the meaning of choices so that you can choose consciously, you see. It's not choices per se are dangerous. In a sense, choices per se. We do. We all face with choices, but we continuously make the right choices or the wrong choices. You know, and look at Bush. He chooses to make a war with a country that has no danger whatsoever against the United States in any form or way. He invented the whole thing, you know, so that he can go there and get all the oil he can get. You know, it's a tremendous liar, and he set up a tremendous apparatus, he and his gang, you know, gangsters really, it's a tremendous apparatus to go in a place and steal their natural resources, and even impose their own mentality. God knows what it is.
But for example, I mean, you design a table, and yes. I'm sure there are tables. There are seven great tables.
Yeah.
Why do you decide then to design another one?
Well, I tell you, always do that. You always do.
Yeah,
this.
Exactly. Yeah. So how can you?
Well,
I mean,
I tell you, because there are situations where you look around and you can't find the right kind of thing for that situation. So we have a motto: if you can't find it, design it. You know. So this is why we design a table or a chair or whatever it is, because we can't find what really is needed by that particular kind of situation in our mind. Now, you could say the same happens with type. Well, that's fine. Well, there are very few good chairs, and there are thousands of chairs around, including these junky ones. You know, there are thousands. But if you really go down to measure, to name the chairs, maybe a dozen. That's about all there is in terms of good chairs, which are timeless, which are really beautiful, which are above and beyond anything. Sometimes they're expensive, but you know, when you take the Eames chairs, my God, it's going to be beautiful forever. It's not that is perfect, you know, example of timelessness. You take the Mies van der Rohe chairs, they will always be extremely good. But they were done by people that were not playing with vernacular culture. They were people which were playing, just like John Sebastian Bach, with the real music, with the real thing, with the essence and not the appearance. This is the problem with a lot of these designers. You know, they play with the appearance of things instead of playing with the essence of things. To get to the essence is a very hard work. You know, and this is why you have to leave design 24 hours. For 360 days, 65 days a week, you know, no vacation included, you know, so that you can get to the core of things, or at least as close as you can to the core of things. I think we're not too far from core of things, you know. That's why, you know, we are what we are in that respect. No ego intended on this.
I was, because you mentioned President Bush yourself. You are living in New York?
Yeah, living in New York.
Have you ever considered moving away from the United States because of the political situation?
Well, it came to our mind several times, you know. But New York, well, of course, like everybody else, you get used to living in a place and you find yourself comfortable there. New York is a very magical place because it's like a chest of drawers with 1,000 drawers. Anything you need, you open the drawer and you find it. I come from Milano. In Milano, there are 5 drawers. You open it, sometimes even empty. You know, it's very, I don't know about Lisbon, and not from here or other places, you know. But availability of things is really terrific. You don't need it. But if you want to go to a concert, there's plenty. If you want to see a museum exhibit, there is plenty. If you want to see galleries, there's plenty. If you want to see anything, theater, movies, people, parties, anything, events, New York has this in such a way that you end up indeed never going to any one of those. But the fact that they're there makes you feel very good. And when you go to a place where none of these things is happening, or just very few and very provincial, then you get upset. So that's the reason why we're in New York. And New York is not America. New York is New York to begin with. You know, it's not United States of America. There are very few Americans in New York, as you know, if I should put it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, now, you cross the river, you get to New Jersey, that's America. Mm-hmm. You know? But it's a very international kind of a city, and so it's fine. I like it because you can keep the distance. It's a city that lets you live with the distance. You know, when I go back to Italy, I'm so close to it. Everybody's Italian, can't stand. You know, in New York, you know, there are a lot of Italians, are fine. You know, but there are a lot of any other nationality as well. There are never two people speaking the same language on the street. You never hear this Russian now. There's plenty of Russians all of a sudden. You know, there are people from everywhere. Now there are a lot of Muslim people. Before I'd never seen before. Now it's all these, you know, ladies in Muslim attire. That's why it's such a great place. Now, America, is a different thing altogether. The American politics are, you know, Bush has been elected more or less democratically, you know, more or less. But even if he's not, even if he cheated a little, we're still around 50%, you know. So he became 51, maybe, but that's not really what makes a big difference. 51% of the American are people that I don't like. And the other 49 or 50 are people that I like, you know. And they're great people. They're the good guys, you know. They're not the rednecks. They're not the super patriotic bums, you know, that they like to kill people. They're not the people that go to see all these violent movies that the industry produces there. You know, you open the television, you can hardly find a channel. Thank God there are 1,000 channels, so eventually you find something, you know. But it's very difficult to find a channel that is good. And well, there are some, but very few, over 2%, maybe over 1,000, you know, not even that. 2 per 1,000, you know. So in Europe, for instance, you know, it's much easier to find a good channel, you know, here and there. Not many, too, you know. But what you find, again, is product imported by United States, which are violent movies. It's a very violent country, you know. It's a country of cowboys still, you know, it's amazing. Not 50%, but the 51%, yes, you know, so to speak, you know. And well, there are aspects which I like very much about there, but there are other aspects which I despise, you know. Is the same thing true in other countries as well? I don't know, you know. Not in Italy.
Politics in Italy is also...
Well, in Italy, you know, well, now we have a good government, like in Spain, you know, we have a good one. But just before we had, you know, kind of a Bush, you know, thing there, with a commercial organization, in a sense, you know. But the Italians, they're not fanatic about, they couldn't care less about anything. Italy is a very strange country. There's a government there, more or less governing, you know, and whenever it goes up, it has its own group. And then the rest of Italy, they keep living, doesn't matter what. You know, fascist, communist, or whatever it is, doesn't make any difference. You know, more or less. It's that kind of a country. It's very resilient. You know? I mean, it's funny. It's an amusing country. I mean, it's an amusing culture, but it's a very old culture. Have you seen anything? Can you imagine? I mean, Romans, they were the worst people. I mean, makes the Americans in Baghdad angels, friends, friendly by comparison, you know. Romans were really disgusting people, you know. I mean, by all means, militaristic, you know, going around the empire and so on and so forth, suppressing every other culture. Well, they had a good culture, perhaps, you know. They were good bricklayers, so that's, they made very good monuments around, you know, solid, they're still there. Still there not because of architectural value, they're still there most of the time because they were solid. You know, well, some had also some value.
Yeah. Be careful, eh?
some had also some value.
Downloaded from typeradio.org.